The Youth's Instructor, August 16, 1900, Seed Sowing. The Youth's Instructor, August 16, 1900, Seed Sowing. In his teaching, Christ called the attention of his hearers to the things of nature, the work of his own hands. He made the trees, the grass, the flowers, that they might teach us precious lessons. Nature was to him a great lesson book by which he sought to open the eyes of human beings to the love and power of God. Nature is a lesson book to which all, high and low, rich and poor, may have access, and from it the most helpful lessons may be learned. Ever in its varying seasons, it repeats its lessons, that by its representations, man may grasp heavenly truth. The apparently commonplace things of earth are silent teachers, instructing us in purity, industry, economy, and patience. The cultivation of the soil, the sowing of the seed, the care bestowed on the seed by the sower, represent different stages of Christ's work for the soul. First appears the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The man who sows seed apparently throws away that upon which he and his family depend for a living. But he is only giving up a present advantage for a much larger return. He throws the seed away that he may gather it again in an abundant harvest. By faith, he may look forward to large returns. In order for the seed to grow, it must have care. And when man has done his part, this is only the beginning. After man has prepared the soil and planted the seed, showing care and thoughtfulness in the work, he must depend upon God, the great husbandman, to send sunshine and showers to water the thirsty ground and cause the seed to spring up and grow. The combined influence of the Lord's unseen agencies is necessary from the time the seed is buried in the ground till the harvest is gathered. If we understood better the wonderful work of God in supplying His family on the earth with the necessities of life, we should know more of His power. He employs many unseen agencies to make the seed spring up and grow. It is His power that gives life to the seed. Without His power, how could the harvest be perfected? Let man do his utmost, and he must still depend on the Creator, who understands just what is needed for the perfection of the fruit. Christ taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." God hears this prayer and is constantly working to answer it. He makes his sun to shine on the just and on the unjust, and gives to all wind and rain, thunder and lightning. These are God's blessings, sent to purify the atmosphere from injurious, unhealthful agencies, which, if allowed to accumulate, would poison it and destroy everything that breathes the breath of life. Christ seeks to lead the mind from the natural seed cast into the ground to the gospel seed, the sowing of which will result in bringing man back to his loyalty. The Savior came to this world to sow the seed of truth. Like a sower in the field, he scattered the seeds of truth in the hearts of men. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Shall the expectation of the sower of the seed be disappointed? God forbid. For it is for the present and future good of the receiver that the seed sown be received into good ground. When it is received in faith, it will spring up and bear fruit. What does it mean to receive into the heart the good seed? It means to receive the words of Christ. This is a remedy for sin. Some give the truth a partial reception, a half sympathy, wishing at the same time they had never heard it. In such soil, Satan sows his seed, and soon there is a growth of thorns, which chokes the good seed. But when the gospel seed is sown in soil that welcomes it, when it is incorporated with the life, direct and glorious results are seen, results that testify to the infinite love of God and the transforming power of the gospel. It means much to receive the good seed. In Luke, we read, "That on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." An honest heart is a heart which, when the light shines into it, acknowledges that sin is the transgression of the law. "Take heed how ye hear," said the great teacher. What will it avail to spend the life in self-deception? When truth is received into the heart, the tares growing there are uprooted. The appeals of God to the conscience are no longer turned aside as of no consequence. All who receive the word into good and honest hearts will bring forth fruit. In their hearts will spring up the precious fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance.